prayer.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather here in your name and to meditate and discuss your holy ascension, Lord, that we're about to celebrate in a few days. May you enlighten our hearts and our minds, Lord, and through the intercessions of Saint Mary, Saint Damiana, Saint John Chrysostom, please hear us when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. I think I'll just get started for now. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen. So for those of you who don't know me, I think I know most of you by now, but my name is Ramiz. I'm a resident at the Ottawa Hospital in OBGYN. Basically, that means I deliver babies. So I'm here today to talk to you guys about the Ascension, and I'm hoping it'll be more of a discussion and not me rambling at you the whole time. So basically, the Ascension Feast is one of the seven major feasts of the Church. We're about to celebrate it in 2 days. It's 40 days after the Holy Resurrection, 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost when we receive the Holy Spirit. So I guess the main reason we're talking about it today is, okay, so it's one of the major feasts. It's a historical thing that happened, that Jesus ascended into heaven. But what does that mean? Like, why does that matter? Why is it something we celebrate? What is the significance of it? If I just ask you off the bat, does anyone have any thoughts or ideas of why the Ascension is important? It's like, halas, he already rose from the dead. Like, what more is there at this point, you know?
It's like the completion.
Yeah, good. The completion of his resurrection, or of like his salvation. What else? If not, that's okay. What I was thinking we could do, I was initially, if there were more of us, I would have broken us into three groups and we would have talked about the three passages where they discuss the Ascension, but I think maybe we can just go through it together and kind of discuss it. So, in Mark chapter 16, Nathan, do you want to read for us? Yeah.
And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Thank you. So off the bat, is there anything that sticks out to you from this passage or that you'd never noticed before? Just feel free to put up your hand and share with the group. Or maybe notice what he talks about to them first before he ascends. Any thoughts?
The spreading of the gospel.
Yeah, the like Great Commission. Go out into the world and spread the gospel to every creature. Notice how he uses the word creature, you know. He's saying, like, everyone, like, every being needs to know about the love of God, about the story of Christ, about the salvation that he offers, the joy, the love, the peace that God offers, that everyone needs to know about this, and that it's not for you to keep to yourselves, or it's not for one nation, like, literally, the gospel to every creature. What else? Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's okay. Because I'll discuss the other points, like all the points after. You can maybe go to the next one. Jonathan, you want to read?
Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, when, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God.
Thank you. So, how about this passage? Anything stick out to you guys, or anything that was different from the last one?
He says he'll send the promise of the Father.
Yeah, promise of the Father. So the first one kind of highlighted more like the Great Commission, like going out, spreading the gospel. This one talks about also receiving the Holy Spirit, like in 10 days. Like it's the day of Pentecost, you will receive the Holy Spirit. There's even another passage where, Christ talks about how I need to ascend so that you can receive the Holy Spirit.
For me, the second paragraph is what sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
The first sentence specifically, because when he says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, to me it's like, if he uses the words as far as, to me it's like, because it's like far from like wherever they were or wherever he's talking about, or talking from, it's like he's kind of spreading out, you know? I don't know. Sorry. Just a thought.
Kind of like almost like spreading the word, kind of?
I'm in Ottawa type of thing, and we're preaching from here to people in Montreal, Toronto, so on and so forth.
Mm. Well, that's a good point. I think there's another passage where it talks about, I think it's in Acts, where it's also the Great Commission, and he's telling them to go and preach. And he says, first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then unto the ends of the earth. So it's like, remember once Abuna Peter in Montreal was talking about how Jerusalem is me, you know? So I start with Jerusalem, and then Judea, like my loved ones, my friends, those who are close to me, then Samaria, my enemies, you know, those that I don't have a lot in common with or that I disagree with, and then to the ends of the earth, everyone. You know. Thank you for sharing. Does that, anyone else have anything to say more about this passage? If not, we can go to the third one. So for those who just joined, we're talking about the ascension. Okay. Sandra, one of you want to read?
Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven."
Thank you. So we're kind of going through each passage of that talks about the Ascension and like saying if there's anything that pops up that or sticks out to us. We just talked about earlier about how it's witnesses to me in Jerusalem and then all of Judea and Samaria and then to the end of the earth, kind of suggesting like starting centrally, starting with me, and then my friends, my loved ones, and then my enemies, and then to the end of the earth. We talked about how it was like one of the big things was the commission, sending the disciples out to preach. Then we also talked about like how he's ascending so that he can send us the Holy Spirit. What else stands out to you guys?
Well, even though he's ascending, he's also coming back. Like in the last verse.
How the angels are kind of telling them, like, why are you looking up to heaven? You know, this is the same Jesus who's taken up from you in heaven will come in like manner as you saw him going into heaven. Which is like an important reminder, you know, that yes, he ascended into heaven, but one day he's going to return in the same manner. And it's something for us to keep in our minds every day, and you also have to kind of sit with that and meditate with that and see how does that make you feel. If you knew Christ was coming in 10 minutes, like what's the initial reaction you have on the inside? If it's anxiety or nervousness or guilt or shame or terror, then that's a sign that maybe I need to kind of sit with myself, sit with God, sit with my Father of Confession and kind of start changing and wanting to look forward to his coming. You know, like how St. John at the end of Revelation, he says, come Lord Jesus, like he wants Jesus to come. He's waiting for them. Like all the disciples are kind of yearning for that time where Jesus will come back. So it's an interesting thing to think about from time to time. Any other thoughts? We're just talking about the Ascension. So maybe what I'll do is I'll kind of go through the icons of the Ascension because there's a lot of beauty in them and kind of symbols of things that we just talked about. So for example, the circle that's around Jesus, that's called the mandorla. It's a symbol of like the divide between heaven and earth. It's to show that Christ is kind of going from earth to heaven. And that's one of the biggest significance of the Ascension is that human nature or humanity is back in heaven. That's one of the big significances of it. We'll talk about that a bit more in a sec. Then you see two angels here. These are the angels that were at the end of that passage in Acts saying, like, why are you looking up to heaven? The same Jesus is going to come in the same manner. At the end of time, you have the apostles, you have Saint Mary. And the way that at least Saint Mary in both icons is represented is she's kind of looking up and kind of waiting. And this is supposed to symbolize the church waiting for the return of Christ. The other thing to notice is that it's painted in a way that it could be the Ascension and it could also be the Second Coming. It doesn't really show the direction that Christ is moving in. It shows the divide between heaven and earth. It shows him kind of in the air or on a cloud, but it doesn't really show whether he's going up or returning. And it's to symbolize that what the angels were saying at the end, that yes, like Jesus, you see him ascending right now, but he will come back in the same way again. Just to remind us, yes, we're celebrating the Ascension, but we're also reminding ourselves of the second coming, of his return. Anything else I wanted to say about that? So it's funny that we were commemorating John Chrysostom in Vespers earlier. He gave a homily or a sermon about the Ascension. This is a small part from it, which I really liked. And it said, "Today the angels have received what they had long yearned for. Today the archangels have seen what they long desired. Our nature gleaming from the royal throne, resplendent in immortal glory and beauty. For it is this that the angels long yearned for, it is this that the archangels long desired. And even though the honor exceeded their own, they still rejoiced in our blessings. For indeed, when we were punished, they were grieved. And even as the cherubim were guarding paradise, they nevertheless felt sorrow. And just as a servant who has taken a fellow slave into custody watches over him due to the master's command, but is still distraught by the fact due to his compassion for his fellow slave, so likewise the cherubim assumed the guardianship of paradise, but grieved at having to do so." So if you look at these two pictures, one is from the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve are cast out of paradise, and you have the angel holding the sword, the flaming sword that goes all directions, and they're leaving in shame. But according to St. John Chrysostom, they're saying that the angels were kind of distraught or like saddened to see man leaving their rightful place in the garden. While on the other hand, you have the Ascension, where you see humanity being restored. You have a human being returning to paradise, returning to heaven. That's why he's saying the angels are so rejoicing on this day. There's like almost a party in heaven over humanity being restored to the right hand of the Father back in paradise. I also read something interesting about why the Genesis specifically kind of talks about it's a flaming sword that like faces all directions. The idea was that there was no way that Adam and Eve could maneuver to get back into the garden on their own. That's why it's a sword, a flaming sword that went in all directions. No matter what way they tried, in their own capacity, they were not able to get back into paradise. But then I read something, I think it was Origen who said it, who said, the water of your baptism is the thing that quenches that flaming sword, that allows you to get back into the kingdom. So, and all that is through Christ. That's why everything we do, whether it's Vespers, liturgy, any sacrament we do, we always start by saying, in Christ Jesus our Lord, because there's nothing we can do without what he has done for us. That's why, depending on the season of the church, we say, he has come and saved us, have mercy on us. He was crucified and saved us. He rose from the dead and saved us. He was baptized and saved us. He ascended into the heaven and saved us. He was born and saved us. Like all these things he did was for us and in order to save us. So every step that Christ did, or everything we celebrate, fasting 40 days and 40 nights, enduring temptation in the desert so that we could endure temptation, being baptized so we could die to our sins and be baptized, being crucified so we could crucify our sins to the cross, and resurrecting so we could rise from the dead, ascending into the heaven so that just like he ascended to the heaven, we could also, humanity could also join him in heaven. So these are just some verses that kind of talk about the resurrection, or were kind of foreshadowing the ascension. I don't know if you want to read the first one.
Sure. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory."
Thank you. So this is the same verse that we say in Easter, just before we open the curtain, when we're doing the commemoration of the, or the reenactment of the resurrection. This is also the psalm that's read before the Gospel reading on Ascension Day. And it's this idea of He is filled with glory. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So the King of glory is coming into the kingdom. He's ascending into heaven. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Could you read, Timothy?
He was manifested in the flesh, indicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
Thank you. So it's this idea again of taken up in glory. It's a glorious thing for the angels and for all the hosts and for the Father to behold the Son of Man, humanity, being glorified and being ascended into the heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now, could you read, John?
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also.
Thank you. So this is like a comforting fact, that he was the first one to ascend to heaven. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then it goes back to this idea that he went, but he's also going to come back. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. So it's, he's preparing a place for me, and when the time comes, he will come to get me and to bring me home. So it's, that's another thing about the ascension. It's almost giving me something to look forward to, that Christ is in heaven, and one day I'm going to join him. He has prepared a place for me. You want to read?
The Lord himself will descend from heaven at the given signal, at the voice of an archangel, and we, the living who have been left, will be seized up on clouds to meet the Lord in the air, but not all.
So I included this one because it was interesting how St. Paul kind of said the way that we will be seized up or be taken up will also be similar to how he was taken up on a cloud. We will be seized up on clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, yeah, all these verses I found quite comforting, emphasizing the glory of the Lord ascending into heaven, but also that he has prepared a place for me and that he's going to one day come to bring me home. It also made me think of, you know, St. Paul. He talks about how our citizenship is in heaven. This is not our final home. That's why he also calls us ambassadors for Christ, you know? An ambassador is someone who goes to a country for a certain time, but he's there to represent his country. And one day his country or his president or his king is going to call him back to his home country. Same with us. We're here for a certain time. We're supposed to represent heaven, speak a heavenly language, wear heavenly clothes, do heavenly things on behalf of the kingdom. And one day we're going to return to our country and answer for the things we did while we were in the kind of country we were in at the time. Another thing to think of, that if my citizenship is in heaven, if my final home is in heaven and he's prepared a place for me, then I should start kind of acting like it from now. So in Colossians 3, St. Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's this idea of, you know, Christ is above. I want to ascend. Like, ask Lord on a regular basis, Lord, I want to ascend. I want to be with you. So set your hearts on things above. Set your thoughts on things above. You know, St. Paul also talks about, like, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, you know, like, meditate on these things. And then I like at the end that when Christ, who is your life, appears, when he comes back, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's this idea that just as he ascended into heaven in glory, like, who, this is the King, the Lord, the King of glory, we will also be glorified with him. So I took this, it's from the melodies that we say during communion on Ascension Day. I'll maybe just start from 12. So the Lord ascended and illuminated heaven and promised his disciples indeed to await the Holy Spirit of God, the Father, the Paraclete. When he ascended to heaven, all principalities worshipped him. His sitting at the right hand of the Father was as David proclaimed in the Psalm. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Son said to the Father, glorify me with the glory I had. Our Lord Jesus ascended, Adam had peace and grace. He ascended with the sound of the trumpet, at the Father's right hand he sat. All glory and honor be to him, the earth felt his power. He rose from the dead and ascended, all his promises he fulfilled. I think what stuck out to me the most was the last verse when it says, all his promises he fulfilled. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies and psalms and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these prophets who have prophesied about these things, including the ascension, and Christ fulfilled all of them. And it's a beautiful thing to be reminded that God keeps all his promises, because that way you know when you read a verse that says, all those who come to me, I will by no means cast out, you know it's true. When he said, when you're feeling low and having low self-esteem about yourself, but he says, in the womb I knew you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, then you know it's true. When he says, I go to build, prepare a place for you, and one day I'm going to bring you, you know it's true. So constantly remind yourself that God keeps his promises. One of my favorite parts of the liturgy, it's just one small line that Abuna says, is when he says, you have not abandoned us to the end, you know? So like, because that's just when Abuna just talked about or prayed about how Adam and Eve kind of were deceived by the serpent and fell. But right after that he says, but you have not abandoned us to the end and sent us prophets, and in the end times you came yourself. So it's this idea that God will not abandon you. He keeps all his promises. The ascension was prophesied about thousands of years prior to this, and it happened. So whenever he says something will happen, it will happen. That's why in Lamentations, when we read it on Good Friday, it says, who is it that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know? So if he says something, it'll come to be. So when he says things, take it to heart and act on it. So I'm gonna end on this. This was a picture I took at a church in Egypt. It's St. Mary's Church in Rehab in Cairo. Can anyone tell me who's the saint that's depicted in the painting? Yeah, St. Stephen, exactly, the first deacon. So it's the point in time when he's being stoned to death, and he says, like I see the Father, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. All the times that phrase was used prior was when Christ would say, like, you will see the Son of Man sat at the right hand of the Father. But Stephen sees him standing. And I always thought that was really beautiful, because Christ was getting up and about to welcome Stephen, which I think is truly beautiful. Stephen was faithful to the end, and God gave him this grace of seeing Christ standing in heaven, ascended, ready to welcome him. So this gives me a lot of hope, knowing that one day, God willing, after I've struggled, that I will eventually see Christ standing at the gates of heaven, ready to welcome me. And that's why we celebrate the Ascension. It's a reminder of our commission to go and spread the gospel to every creature. It's a reminder that we've received the Holy Spirit, or we're going to receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's a reminder that just as he was taken up to heaven, one day he will return. But not only will he return, he has prepared a place for me, and he will bring me home. And he's ready standing ready, waiting to welcome you. That's all I have to say. Do you guys have any questions or comments or thoughts you want to share? I learned a lot prepping this. I never thought that deeply about why we celebrate the Ascension. But yeah. Any thoughts? Complaints? Glory be to God. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your gifts, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful and that you always keep your promises, Lord. That you'll never leave us or forsake us, that we are redeemed in your name, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord, for humbling yourself, being born as a child in a manger, to growing up as a child, learning how to walk, to speak, to eat like every other child, Lord. We thank you for your fasting so that and struggling in the desert so we could fast and struggle and learn to fight against sin, Lord. We thank you for your passion and for your crucifixion, Lord. We thank you for your resurrection from the dead. We thank you for your ascension into the heaven. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I ask you to bless all those standing before you, Lord, all those who couldn't make it. Please bless them, guide them in every good deed, strengthen them with all their struggles, Lord, through the intercessions of St. Mary, St. Mark, St. John Chrysostom, St. Damiana, St. Stephen, the first martyr, Lord, the first deacon. Please hear us when we pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory of God. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.